Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Schenck of katelovingschenck.com, prayerprescriptions.com, and author of the Prayer Prescription Series and creator of Kate Loving's Prayer Podcast, Prayer Prescriptions That Rewire Assumptions About Your Everyday Reality. My guest this evening is Astrology's Astrologer, a.k.a. Sheila Audette. Sheila joins me every week to, or I should say every month, to discuss world events as interpreted through the astrological lens. This week we will be discussing the chart of Paramahansa Yogananda, one of the greatest spiritual saints to ever grace the world and the planet. He wrote this autobiography of a yogi, and it's one of the greatest spiritual classics of all time. And if you haven't read it, I really highly recommend it. He came to this country in 1921, and there is a movie called Awake, and that's about Paramahansa Yogananda, and it really does give the true struggles that he went through in bringing the East to the West. So joining me now is Sheila Audette, Astrology's Astrologer. Hello, dear Sheila.
Hi, dear Kate. How are you, honey?
I'm good. That, how are you doing?
Good. Was that Keanu Reeves who played that? That movie?
That movie is actually a documentary that shows old footage.
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, I know. I know who you... He played the Buddha.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Well,
that was a great movie. Yeah.
Were you able to get
the information on his chart? On Yogananda's chart?
I have the information on Yogananda. If we wanted to guess out of all of us, we would guess Capricorn. Capricorn.
Yeah.
And also he has three fingers of God, which are called yods in his side, which are called pointers to bring heaven to earth. There are 150-degree aspects with sextiles holding them together, and what happens with that is there's a point at the end. And one of the yod points to Vesta, and it's right near the gestation point, which means Vesta is an asteroid which I interpret, I do, as the flame that goes up to the Olympic flame that goes all the way around the world.
Yeah.
And then they carry that, and then they run it up the steps, and they light the Olympics for bringing the world together. That's where his one yod is located. So it's a being, it's a saint that is bringing all parts of the world together, because his midheaven is in Gemini, and he's got a Pluto-Neptune conjunct the midheaven. Now, conjunct means they are together. Pluto, which is the deep soul of the universe, the deep, deep soul of being, is at 18, there's a three, you know, there's the whole, the zodiac is, you know, 365 degrees, but the eight Gemini
mm-hmm.
They're on top of each other, and they're retrograde, which means they're subjective, which means there's a person that's going to give information that cracks not only his seed open, but the universe, the entire universe seed, into a whole new chapter of being.
Mm-hmm.
And it means, and his son in Capricorn, of course, in the fifth house means he has the information from ages and ages and ages. It's age-old information, but it's something that he brings to the forefront that looks like new information, but it's not new information. It's ancient information. Then the next jod is to Mars in Aries, which means breaking something open that nobody else can break open. It's being first. It takes a lot of courage to have Mars in Aries with the yod to it, because, you know, people do not believe you because you're the pioneer. Mm-hmm. And people usually do not believe pioneers. It takes, you know, till three or four people after them before they really realize that they were in the company of a really great, great, great saint or person. Now, Venus, Mercury. Venus, of course, is the love potion. I love that love potion. And Mercury in Sagittarius means not just the love of a single person, but it means the love of all people. It means the love. It stretches forevermore. It's Mercury, Venus, Mercury in Sagittarius. Now, the next yod is to Uranus and Scorpio. I find this really interesting because Pluto, of course, is in Gemini conjunct Neptune together, but Pluto rules Scorpio. So the information about, you know, levitating and all of those things, it's like Jesus. It's never been believed enough for the general public to do it.
Mm-hmm,
they have in their minds, Jesus said, you know, miracles and healings, and Yogananda said miracles and healing and levitation and walking on coals, and the Eastern Masters book talks about that there are people on the planet that walk, you know, that walk on coals and that levitate and that can teleport to other places. But the general public does not believe in that. But that's what this man taught, you know? I call the moon the environment. And I did a little experiment here, which I'm going to talk about. The moon is in Leo in this chart, okay? The moon is in Leo, which means fairly dramatic. It's like a famous play. Okay, it's like a play that lasts forever, okay? The moon in Leo. It's like, you know, it's like Shakespeare, right? It's like the Bible. It goes on forever, okay? It's like the book. You mentioned the book right away at the beginning of the show, okay? Everybody should read it. Now, look how many years we're away from it. And you're saying on your radio show, you should read this book. Which I think the book is one of the greatest books I ever read. It's a book that keeps you up all night. It's a book that you go, oh, wow.
Yeah. It's more than a spiritual classic. And the way he writes it is exactly what you say. It's dramatic. It's very intense, and you may or may not believe it, but it's all true, you know?
Yeah, and I love books like that, don't you? I mean, sometimes you read a book, and then you go back, and you don't read it for 5 years, and then when you read a book like Yogananda or Eckhart Tolle or, you know, Wayne Dyer, you're reading a whole new book. You go, that's the way
I
read the first book.
Did I read this before? I mean, yeah.
Because what happens? You somehow, your vibration through going through years of study and work in this field, your vibration lifts into a different place, and you're vibrating on a different level with the material, with the information. And I always find that very, and I'm even a great play, like La Mancha, Man of La Mancha or something, you I mean, I worked in the theater. I directed on Montreal 6 times. I mean, and every time I did it, it was different. It was a different way.
Yeah.
And it's a different actor. It's actors. It's a different environment. It's a different, and the audience is one thing about live theater is the audience is different every time. So the audience brings different energy every time. Stephen Colbert said that last night. By the way, if anybody hasn't seen Stephen Colbert lately, that show is just off the charts. I mean,
I have to see it.
He's getting better. Well, what was interesting last night, one of the lines he said was, I have to go through more at the drugstore to get Sudafed than I do to get a gun.
Oh, that's so true. That's a great line, isn't it?
he says those lines all the time. It's really, and you do. You have to go through more to get a license, to drive. You have to go through more, to pay a fine.
What you have to go through to register to vote is here in the state of Pennsylvania is the most absurd thing I've ever come across. But anyway, it's true though, because what is true is, well, about Colbert is that he is so sharp, so quick, mm-hmm. and he thinks just like us, which is really cool.
Yeah. And you just go, wow, that's the truth. That's the truth, but I wouldn't have put it that way. And let's Steve Carvell was on with him last night, and they came up with each other in Seventh City, company.
Yeah.
And they sang together. It was great. It was just great. So, but
Bernie Sanders is on Jimmy Fallon, the Tonight Show tonight.
Oh, great. He's great.
Yeah, yeah.
I love your hat. On Facebook, I love your hat.
Oh, I love that, too.
If anybody hasn't seen Kate on Facebook in her hat, go look at it, okay?
Well, I like the, wonderful, what is it? The planet is there, our planet, with a ring of... I'm trying to think of the name, where you see... We don't see them here. Oh, the... Northern Lights. That's what that is.
Oh, yeah.
The Northern Lights are dancing upon the earth, and me and Bernie's hat with the greenery all around. It all seems to come together there. Yeah.
Yes, it does. So now I'm going to tell you something fascinating. Well, mm-hmm. I decided to run Jean Dixon's chart, and I ran Mark Edmund Jones' chart, and I ran mm-hmm. Joseph Campbell's chart, and I ran Edgar Casey's. You know me. Once I get going, there's no stopping.
Yes.
What I found out is Jean Dixon, Yogananda has the sun at 15 degrees of Capricorn and the moon at 25 degrees of Leo. Jean Dixon, the psyche, has the sun at 15 degrees of Capricorn and the moon at 20 degrees of Leo.
Ha-ha! Yay.
And there's a yod. There's a yod to her moon in Leo. Very dramatic, breaking new ground. Pluto in Gemini. The plutonic energy breaking through with deep information from the other side. I just mm-hmm. find that totally fascinating. Don't you?
Yeah, and Edgar Casey, what was his like?
Okay. You're ahead of me. Okay.
He was a Pisces.
Edgar Casey is the last one I'm going to do. And,
okay, keep going. Do it in your lineup there. That's fine. Go ahead.
Mark Edmund Jones. Sun is in Libra, another cardinal sign. Uranus conjuncted. Moon now at 16 degrees of Leo. Saturn conjunct Leo, Leo moon, and all that is conjunct the midheaven, like Yogananda, Mark Edmund
mm-hmm,
Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And Neptune-Pluto conjunction in Gemini. Information. I mean, I think that Mark Edmund Jones' work in astrology, all his Sabian work was great, but his work in astrology was off the charts with his I use it all the time, you know, like you look right away for, of course, because I'm from the theater, I look for that, but you look for the bowl, you look for the umbrella, and you look for the train, and you look for all kinds of pictures in the center of the aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And he created all that. That was just fabulous, fabulous work. Okay.
Yeah.
And his Saturn, Moon Saturn conjunction in Leo with the midheaven, it's straight from as above, so below. Exactly what you said with Yogananda. We're going with another cardinal sign. Here the Sun is in Aries, Mercury's in Aries, Jupiter's in Aries. They all have yods in their chart. They all have fingers of God. His Moon is in Leo, too. Do you believe that? I mean, the odds of that are what? The odds of that all of these people have the Moon in Leo are, it's bizarre. This yod in Joseph Campbell's chart is Neptune in Cancer. Now, it's mm-hmm. interesting that he worked on the hero's journey. And, you know, the hero's journey is like the Sun in Sun in Aries, Mercury in Aries, Jupiter in Aries, Mars in Aries. It's like mm-hmm. that whole survival thing. It's like going through the refusal at the beginning of the gate, you know, and having to be pushed into it. Then it's like the every fairy tale that ever was, you know, that you have all of these things that you have to conquer in order to get to the end. And when you get to the end, it's just like the Wizard of Oz. The answer was in the journey, not in when you got to the end.
Yeah.
The end, and it's all of those kind of things. You know, like, I mean, the Wiz was on this week, of course, and I thought it was fabulous. But, it, you know, Dorothy, the first part of your life, you go through Venus. I mean, you go through Mercury where you're stuck and you're in the field and you can't get down off the thing, and the crows are eating at you and everybody's saying, why don't you go do it? Because you're scared. And because a lot of the people in your childhood, if you don't come from a family that's thinking the same ilk as you do, they say, don't do that. You can't make any money at that. I don't want you to do that. You have to go out and get a regular job. All of those kind of things happen there to shut down your Mercury. And then Venus, your passion, is the Tin Man because it rusts over. And then you hear somebody on when they're making their transition say, oh, I wanted to be a singer. Oh, I wanted to be a dancer. Why didn't I write that book, right? I mean, it's all, you know, but these people that we're talking about here, they all overcame their Venus. It's interesting because you said Edgar Cayce, you said Pisces, okay? His North Node, his Mercury, his Saturn, his Venus, and his Sun are all in Pisces.
Whoa.
Okay. And all of that is in Pisces. So somehow, and his North Node in Pisces, and I call the South Node the Wonderland, where the South Node for me in the chart is like the red shoes. The red shoes that she puts on to go through the fairy tale. It means basically that you have to go to a place of wonder, a place of magic, a place that nobody else goes to get the information. Then the North Node means you have to bring it back to Earth. You have to bring it back and be able to explain it in a way that people can get it, which Edgar Cayce did. And he has Mercury in Pisces, which means he was a true healer. He walked the walk, he talked the talk, and he did the deed. He had Venus in Pisces, which means basically he didn't let his heart rust over. He didn't drop that. He kept that. Then the Sun in Pisces, I mean, the center little dot in the center of the chart is we have these seeds that we have to break open. It's very hard to break a seed open. We are imprinted with not breaking a seed open. We are imprinted with that. We are imprinted to do it the way everybody else does it. So it takes a great deal of courage to step out of that. He does not have the Moon in Leo. Kate.
Uh-huh.
He has the moon in Taurus. I find he has Neptune in Taurus, Pluto in Taurus, and the moon in Taurus. He has a kite in his chart, which is different from all the rest. And that kite goes down through the south node where I told you the red shoes are in Virgo, which it means mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, he was able to take all of the information from Mercury in Pisces, Saturn in Pisces, Venus in Pisces, the North Node in Pisces, and the Sun in Pisces. It all goes down through the kite and comes out in the first house through the South Node in Virgo. So he was a true, true healer. His information still holds true today. It holds true of one of the greatest healers of all time.
Right. Absolutely right.
Not that the rest of them didn't, but I mean, I'm just. It's interesting because you know, Wayne Dyer has the Sun in Taurus, and his moon is in Gemini, and his chart. The new healers like Wayne Dyer are totally different from the older ones. The older
mm-hmm.
ones, there's so much Leo moon and cardinal signs and like Capricorn with Dixon and Capricorn with Yogananda and Capricorn with, Libra, which is a Libra sun with Mark Edmund Jones. But the thing is, it holds true with all of these that they're all cardinal signs, except for Edgar Casey. He's a Pisces like you.
He broke the mold.
Well, I guess he just wanted to, he just stepped outside and did it a different way. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I'll never forget when I went to visit my brother and Jala and my sister, and I had a reunion in Virginia Beach or Norfolk a few years ago. We went to the ARE, the Association for Research and Enlightenment, where Edgar Casey founded that place. And we took a tour, which I never did before, and somebody gave a little lecture right beside the couch where Edgar Casey did all of his readings.
Oh, wow.
And the energy coming off that couch was phenomenal. I was just floored by it.
Wow.
It was really awesome.
I think the Virginia Beach is really quite wonderful when you... I went there for the first lecture she ever gave, showing the client.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it snowed. It never snowed there.
Wow.
it was really quite interesting, and all the electricity went off in the hotel. So it was.
I bet Shirley probably had something to do with all of that, and you too.
Well, it was interesting because when she was done with her morning talk, see, she's used to being on the stage, okay, and in the movies.
Yes.
So she said, "Now we're breaking for lunch," and she was up front, and. My friend Joanne and I were there, and she said, "You can all go for your, you know, break." Well, they didn't. I said, "This ought to be good." Well, she's not used to this. So instead of going out the back door to go to dinner, to lunch, they all went toward her. I knew they were going to do that.
Of course.
She didn't,
though. Of course.
She didn't. It was somebody, she looked horrified because, you know, actors and all are ready to just go backstage, right?
Yeah.
So... She went out through the kitchen. She got out, and I said to Joanne, "That will never happen again." So she came in for the second lecture of the day, and it was the end of the lecture. Beautiful music came on, and she said, "Now I'm going to dance out the aisle while you all meditate." I said, "Yeah, see, I told you that wasn't going to happen again."
Did she actually dance?
Oh, yeah, she did. I mean, gosh.
What a great dancer. What a great dancer, yeah.
Yeah, she also was very funny. She was standing outside the elevator, and I was standing there, and this one woman said, "Oh, what would have happened if the electricity went off and you would have been stuck in the elevator?" And Shirley MacLaine looked at her and said, "I would have screamed like hell." That's so funny. I wasn't expecting That's her Terry Nancy, you know?
She is so real.
Yeah, you know? She was. Yeah, it was.
It really is real.
It was great. It was really great. So what else do you want to know about Yogananda? His south node. Look, I asked you a question, and then I just keep talking.
No, well, actually, you probably read my mind. His south node. Go ahead.
Okay, his south node, where he's in Wonderland, is in Scorpio. And Uranus is conjunct that. It's in his third house. He went to a deep place, like Jesus and all, like a life and death, with life and death issues. Mm-hmm. He went really deep and not believing in death, but telling people that there was no such thing as death. You know, it was just ascending, and that we can all ascend. We can all do the ascension, like, you know, Jesus and the Holy Mother, and I, you know, the Piscean energy, which is the Jesus energy, which is basically Catholicism teaches us to worship the suffering and the cross, but Jesus, that's not what he taught. I mean, if you read the Bible very carefully, the end of that journey was that he pushed the rock away and he ascended. And that, for me, that metaphor was that you can rise up out of anything. You can rise up out of anything, the journey, learn the lesson, and rise up. So,
yes.
Yogananda, same lesson. And there are people on this earth right now, and there's supposed to be a whole group. And if that group wasn't here, it's supposed to be the Eastern Masters, that the planet wouldn't be they're holding the planet together right now.
Oh, I agree with that. The planet needs to be held together.
Well, you know, every news program, when you wake up in the morning, you know, I don't think that the universe has yet gotten a lot of people that what we focus on is what we create. The more they focus on California, the more they focus, why does it keep happening? It keeps happening because they keep talking about it. It keeps happening because they keep creating it.
I just saw this piece of news just flashed across my iPhone that Smith & Wesson gun sales soar after the mass shooting, or all the mass shootings. You know, the gun sales soar. So they're all concentrating on that, and they can have their guns as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, but, you know, that means that people have guns, and if they get mad, they'll just go, they just shoot you. And they have no qualifications or anything.
This is very true. It's very dangerous. You know, more and more people are buying these assault weapons because they're so easy to buy. Like you said, they're easier to buy than Sudafed. And the thing is, you know, getting back to Yogananda, I have to tell you this. My mother bought the autobiography of a yogi as soon as it was published in the early 50s. And she was really obsessed by Yogananda for that period of time. And she would lecture me about the third eye when I was about three, you know, getting up out of a nap. And she'd come in and start talking about the third eye. And it was, like, terrifying to me to think about a third eye, the literal idea of a third eye. But then years later, you know, getting into the autobiography myself, I never read it until I was a little older. And then I became
older
an initiate.
You didn't read it until you waited until you were older than three, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Just go on.
Well, anyway, I read about Edgar Cayce long before I read the autobiography of a yogi. But the thing is, I actually did the self-realization lessons. Have you ever heard of those?
No, I don't think so.
So self-realization lessons is something he wrote for people to take religiously. He would send a lesson, not him, but the Self-Realization Fellowship sends a lesson every month for a year. And you read it and you study it. And then after a while, they send you the lessons on Kriya Yoga, which is a very high top secret thing. And then I even went to an initiation in Washington, D.C. that featured getting involved with Kriya Yoga. So I have this wonderful yogi technique that that's very specific to Yogananda, but maybe it really isn't. As a matter of fact, it turns out that there's all kinds of Kriya Yoga techniques that you can even Google and find it on the internet now. You could never do that before. So it's a very, as soon as you do one Kriya round, you feel completely transformed. It takes you out of this muck of worrying about guns and shootings and politicians and elections and all this stuff. It's just one or two rounds of the Kriya Yoga is like a miracle, and he brought that to America. He was the one who brought it to the West. Very,
wow.
Very deep stuff. Very deep stuff.
Yeah.
So I try to, do Kriya Yoga as much as I can.
Right before I got on the air, a client called me, a friend of mine, and she was talking about what you just were talking about, that there are lessons. I had to get off the phone, but she was talking about the lessons, that Yogananda lessons. Is that what you're talking about?
The self-realization lessons that you have to, they're very, very inexpensive. You pay for them, and it helps fund the self-realization temples all over the place. You know, and there's one in Washington, there's one in Virginia, there's one in New York City, but there's several in California, and there's probably more than I know.
Yeah.
And these lessons, I have them still, and I keep them in a very safe place. And every now and then I'll read a few of them. I've read them all, you know, but I go back, and like you said, every time I read it, it's like I haven't read them before. It's like a whole new vibration I take to it.
I think that's a miracle, that way that the vibration lifts to a different place, and then when you read something, it's like a whole new vibration.
Exactly.
And the other, that's the same kind of a technique that the Sabians use with the yellow, with the pink papers and the white papers and the blue papers. When you go to the meetings and you read about Plato, or then you read about the Bible, or you read about, they're all, they're all different colored papers that you get in the mail and study. That's kind of the same kind of technique, which is really, it's really quite marvelous, you know.
Somewhere towards the beginning of the lesson, he teaches you how to do the what is called energization exercises. That you need to, according to Yogananda, you need to do these energization exercises, which take about 10 to 15 minutes. And it's like bringing oxygen and stretching, and it's a real expansive exercise. And then after that, then you sit down and meditate and do the Kriya Yoga, which it's very structured, you know. And I pretty much have abandoned most of the structure and just do the I do some meditation and then I do the Kriya Yoga. But his structure is I don't know why you have to jump through these hoops and why it has to be so secret, but it is what it is.
Capricorn. That's the whole kind of structured thing.
Well, apparently Elvis went to the self-realization fellowship, in California. Now, Yogananda died in 1952. So, but I guess I can't put it on a timeline as to when Elvis went there. But I don't think really he could have ever known Yogananda. But he was turned away because he was like such a drug addict.
He also was a Capricorn. Elvis.
Yes.
So,
he really was a great musician. He was a great, singer, musician guy. I mean, he was very talented.
Yeah, their vibration is so high, A lot of times, their vibratory energy, like him and Michael Jackson and all, they go on drugs to control the vibration. It's almost too much for one body. That's what I get with Stephen Colbert. It's almost when you watch him, it's almost like his energy is like coming out of his body, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like Steve Carvell, he said last night, we're going to sing, and Steve Carvell was not ready, and he said, no. He said, oh, yes, we are. I thought, you don't have a chance here, Steve. You just better get start singing, right? You know? But Steve Carvell can, I mean, Stephen Colbert can really sing. I mean, him and James Corden, the guy after him was in the movie Into the Woods, the guy that has his show right after him. Broadway stars, which you never would know. You know what I mean?
No.
Oh, it's just this ultimate talent. By the way, I want to ask you, I know we're on the radio and all, is Delaney doing Scrooge this year?
He is, but he's having some chronic pain. He's having some chronic pain, and he's doing it from a rocking chair. but maybe he could bounce out of it. I mean, you know, he's had some pain for a while. He did the Christmas Carol on my radio show three times. So I put one up, and I have to put another one up, and I'll put another one up soon, just to repeat it because.
It's
magnificent. I know. And did you see it in the paper? Somebody, of all the Scrooges that's ever been performed in here in Lancaster all these years, they brought that one out of the archive and put it in the paper. So my friend Ellen gave me a copy, and I will send that to Delaney in the next day or two. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's just great.
It really is.
I'm sorry to hear about that he's in pain. I really am.
I am too. Pain sucks.
Leo energy. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Delaney has a huge interest in Yogananda, and we've talked about him for a long time. In fact, we did have a self-realization fellowship group here in Lancaster. In fact, I think we still do. And I just work so much that I can't go. But it's really helpful to meditate with people, as we all know. It's just so wonderful to get together with people and meditate, and like we do with at the Unitarian Church lately with each other.
Yes.
So,
I'm so sorry the last one.
I think we'll do that again in January, because this month is too crazy.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I was on the road and I was traveling, so.
Are you back in Lancaster now?
I'm back in Lancaster now. I'm back in Lancaster. So. Yes.
How can people get a hold of you if they want their charts done?
My it's Mary Sheila Audette @gmail.com.
Mary Sheila Audette, Audet, @gmail.com.
Yeah, and it says Gila, Sheila. Some people spell it wrong. It's Mary Sheila, Audette, Audet, @gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I do them over the phone. I can do them by phone, or I can do them just the CD and send them, okay? Or I do them in person, any one of those I do. And
right.
I think that people should find astrologers wherever they are, basically, because it's the clue that we have to the puzzle of this journey. It is the clue.
Mm-hmm.
It's how to break the seed open. And I do many charts where I know that and breaking the seed open is going for the passion. It's going for, whatever you go through, and you survive, if you do survive, it makes you stronger And it means that you have cracked one of those seeds open. There's a lot of dots when you look at the chart in the center. Like there may be, you know, four or five or six dots where there's crossover opposition lines. And right in the center of that are like circles. And each mm-hmm. one of them is like a challenge on the road. It's like, and some people would see, you know, it comes to mind, Eat, Pray, and Love, Gilbert's book. You know, she said that when you listen to somebody like that, and she says, you know, I was in a great marriage. I had a lot of money. You know, I was living in a mansion. Everything. But it just was not right. It was just
right.
It was not my passion. And so a lot of people get stuck in places like that, and then they grow old, and they go, "What's wrong? I don't feel like I've lived this life." And that's basically mm-hmm. because they haven't. Like you work all the time on cracking your seed open. Like writing books and searching new ways out in this nursing thing, and all of those are doing constant work. And I don't think mm-hmm. anybody ever graduates from this nursing. That's the one thing that's great about it.
No, we don't. It's a constant process, and it's a constant journey. Who would even want to graduate anyway? Basically.
No, nobody wants to graduate. But the point, it's exciting. It gets more exciting all the time, I think. And,
yeah.
And you meet
it is.
Different, instead of being judgmental of the other religions or the other spiritual disciplines, we should be curious about them, because everybody goes a different road on the journey. And and be inclusive rather than divisive. That's what's wrong with the whole Republican-Democrat thing. I mean, how are they ever going to get anything done?
That's a good question.
It's amazing now. Did you hear where Jimmy Carter is cured of cancer?
He's free of cancer.
Yes, free of cancer. He's another saint, Jimmy Carter.
Yes, he is. You know? All those prayers that everybody sent his way is so helpful.
Yes, but when somebody like that heals himself at 91 of cancer, just look at all the people out here, all of the people that get new hope. All of the
mm-hmm.
people that
mm-hmm.
say, if he can do it, I can do it. So
yeah.
I just think
have you ever heard of the book, that I'm changing the subject, called Life and Death Are Wearing Me Out by Mo Yan, M-O-Y-A-N.
No.
The publisher of New World Library recommends that book. So I did buy it on Amazon. It'll take a few weeks to get here because it isn't Amazon Prime. But he said it's really excellent. He didn't want it to end, and it's very funny. And I think it's about people connecting to animals. But it's also probably about life and death. I like that. Life and death are wearing me out. That's awesome.
Yeah. And I think it's true.
I think it's a great way to say it.
What's his name?
His name is M-O, Mo Yan, Y-A-N.
Okay,
so he's recommended a bunch of other books here, but that was the one that was the most compelling to me at this time.
The book that I'm going to recommend is The Diamond Cutter. I don't know if you've ever heard of The Diamond Cutter. It's by Leach. L-E-A-C-H, it's Leach, that's his last name. But when I was on the road, it was beside the bed, and I picked it up and I read it the whole night. I could not put it down. It's about the diamond. I never knew, but he's taken it into a whole metaphor about the diamonds and diamond cutting. And he was a monk. Really,
that's
awesome.
Far out. Far out.
It's very, very far out. And if you can get your hands on it, it's in paperback. So it's just a marvelous, marvelous book. And same bedroom that I slept in, that's where I found the Eastern Masters book.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's and it's funny because where I say, I go, oh, my God, these books are so great. She goes, oh, yeah, people just read them. I won't read them. I say, well, maybe they're there for me. But then it's my turn to read them, you know.
So Mark Allen is the one who recommended the Diamond, I'm sorry, the Life and Death Are Wearing Me Out. And then he recommended a book called Balzac and the Little Chinese Seamstress by Da Sijie or whatever, S-I-J-I-E. And he said that book was far too short, and he wanted it to go on and on. And then he recommended a book called Absurdistan by Gary Shetyenagar, something, S-H-T-E-Y-N-G-A-R-T. And he says it's a brilliant comedy from the author of Russian Debutante's Handbook and Super Sad True Love Story.
Wow.
And then he recommended The Girl Who Sang to the Buffalo by Ken Nurburg.
Wow.
And he also, Kent also wrote Neither Wolf Nor Dog, and he also wrote The Wolf at Twilight, and they form a trilogy.
You're kidding. That sounds cool. The
very third book in the trilogy is called The Girl Who Sang, and according to Mark, that's his favorite one.
Oh, wow.
And then there's one called The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Oh, yeah. I know that one.
A Man Called Ove, O-V-E, by Frank Backman.
Oh, wow.
So he recommended a bunch of books for people to read over the holiday, probably. But I'm going to read that Life and Death Are Wearing Me Out. I think that's great.
Yes.
Okay. The New World Library sends me all kinds of books to read, which is awesome.
The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. Have you read that?
No.
The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. It's a novel by Mark Haden, H-A-D-D-O-N, one of the best books I've ever read. It's written by an autistic child.
And it's called The Curious What?
It's The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime.
Okay.
And it's from an autistic point of view. Oh, my God. I couldn't put it down. It's brilliant.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
I mean, it's heart-in-the-mouth stuff, terrifying and moving, and this kid goes on a journey, and you don't think he's going to make it. It's astonishing. It's captivating. On the front of the book is a black dog. It's a cutout with a black dog upside down.
Oh.
And they made a Broadway show, and it won the Tony this year.
Oh, that's really awesome.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it when I was watching the Tony. I said, oh, my God, that's my book. I love so much.
How many books do you read? Oh, I know. How many books do you read a month?
Oh, my gosh, that's a good question. I don't know. I read a lot, and I'm always reading a murder mystery. I love David Baldacci. Oh, my God.
How many has he written?
He's written about probably 30. I've read them all. And my friend down in Phoenixville, she has the whole library, so I didn't even have to buy half of them. You know?
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
But he writes about, Lee Child writes, he always starts his books like a guy that's wandering around, that doesn't have a car, that gets off the train in some kind of town, and then a whole mystery starts around it. It's like unbelievable.
Those old Sherlock Holmes books were great too.
Yeah, weren't they? Oh my God! And the Sherlock Holmes on television is great. You know, Elementary.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen it? Elementary.
No, I haven't really seen it.
Oh my God! Brilliant acting. The other one is Person of Interest. It's like a thing has a camera on everybody, and this thing knows when somebody's going to murder somebody, and then they have to go and try and save the person's life. It's incredible.
Oh, that is incredible.
It's a great thing. And on Thursday nights, I think, maybe it's Sunday nights, they run them back to back to back. And I go, oh, good, good, good. You know, good. So, okay.
Yeah.
Let's repeat
where we can reach you to get our charts done again.
Mary Sheila Audette at gmail.com. It's
excellent.
Funny because this week I did a chart, I said from Puerto Rico, Turkey, and now I have one from Peru. It's really odd, you know.
I'm glad that you have a good, your business is doing well.
Well, yeah, but Saturn in Sag seems to be bringing faraway charts. I mean, they don't live there now, but they were born there, you know, so.
Yes.
So, and yes, that's love. Okay, well, I want to wish everybody happy, happy holidays.
Oh, thank you. Same to you.
And wish Tom happy holidays. Okay.
I will. Yeah, and I love you so much, and peace on earth and all that wonderful stuff. And we'll try to calm down here a little bit because things are getting a little out of hand, aren't they?
Oh, I think so. I think so. I'm just not into the news on television. I'm not.
Yeah. Well, I don't do that. I do internet stuff.
Yeah.
Which is even which the mainstream media doesn't even, you know, they completely ignore what's going on in the internet, but they shouldn't because that's where everything is being shaped.
Yes. Yes. But, you know, it's like, I mean, if we have things like Grand Theft Auto and these video games for these kids, what in the world do they expect?
Oh, exactly.
I mean, what do you expect when you're imprinting the brain with that stuff? I mean, it doesn't seem like people understand how the brain gets imprinted. I mean, if the brain gets imprinted with abuse when somebody's abused and all, why don't they think these video games imprint?
Oh, I know. And they do. They really do.
Oh, they do. Deep, deep, deep. And I think, some of them shoot somebody and they expect them to get up.
That's right. They do.
Yeah, so, but shooting somebody in the back 16 times is a little excessive for me. I don't know why you can't shoot somebody once in the knee. They will go down and they will drop their whatever they have. You know?
Well, then to cover it up like they do in Chicago routinely, oh, my gosh, what a job to try to fix this mess is beyond anybody's capability, really.
That's right. And then they criticize anybody that's trying to clean it up.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. I don't really think Trump is trying to clean anything up. What a narcissistic asshole. Ugh.
Well, build a wall, shoot him down and build a wall. I mean, I can't understand why anybody's even listening. You know, so divisive. Whoa. Okay. All right, Lovey.
Well, okay. And onward. Love to you. Love to all.
Okay. Talk to you next month.
Okay. We'll talk about when we'll do that. Thank you. Bye-bye. Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.